Help support our coverage with a free account on Privacy, the service that keeps your bank information private when shopping online. Take control of your subscriptions and other recurring payments, plus pause and close privacy cards at any time. And get $5 right now to try the service at collision.live/privacy.
Well, our next guest is here. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
Can you please introduce yourself for us?
I'm Oriane. I'm CEO of Bottega, and we're a technology company that specializes in graphics tech for real-time mediums or immersive experiences such as VR and AR.
Okay.
And we are revolutionizing the way content is consumed, or computer-generated content is consumed on real-time mobile platforms. I'm sure you're both familiar with CGI,
sure.
Visual effects, high-end stuff. So that's pretty much the gold standard for computer-generated imagery. Unfortunately for mobile devices and head-mounted displays and other low-power devices, there is absolutely no way that those devices can run those types of graphics in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So our technology bridges the gap, and we can actually bring in that fidelity to those mobile devices in real time, thereby revolutionizing the way content is consumed on AR, in AR and VR.
Wow.
And beyond that, it's
revolutionizing the way we interact with cat pictures.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is Kitty, and Kitty is high fidelity rendering, the kind of stuff you'd see in VFX,
okay,
movies, broadcast quality content.
Okay.
So we're able to bring this kind of quality to mobile devices. Doesn't matter how low end. We do that by offloading the processing from the device. Takes place in the cloud.
Okay.
And it is streamed in real time based on user interaction.
So similar to the way like Project X Cloud from Microsoft, or for the AAA title,
right,
video games,
right,
but designed not for consoles or PCs, but for phones,
for
on
augmented
AR and VR
reality.
Oh.
Exactly, exactly. So we're doing something, well,
that's
it's similar conceptually, but we do it very differently.
Sure.
Those companies are actually doing cloud processing, CPUs on the cloud. Not a cheap proposition.
Right.
We are storing our content and processing our content beforehand, so its storage in the cloud is static, and that gets streamed in on demand. So it's way cheaper, and you could compare it to YouTube video. It's the same amount of throughput, high quality YouTube video, but it'll be a kind of a platform for YouTube, but for 3D volumetric content that you can interact with.
You do all of the processing ahead of time.
Not all of it.
Enough of it.
Enough of it.
Okay.
To allow the devices to, you know, to not have to deal with that kind
with
of intensity.
All
they have to do is display it, do some last mile kind of stuff, and then display it.
Exactly. So it's a hybrid approach,
wow,
and it's a meshing of the offline world and the online world. High-end visual effects, high-end 3D, where you've got hours and hours and hours per frame for rendering. And we can have that run in real time, on demand, just like you would experience any kind of YouTube content on a day-to-day basis. And that's a big deal. We're also obviously banking on the big tech companies to come out with that kind of hardware where we don't have to wear glasses anymore, or we don't have to look through our mobile phones to consume volumetric content or content that can be viewed from any angle.
Okay.
We're banking on the holographic displays. We're banking on the light field displays. Those displays are going to need a new kind of content, a new kind of format.
Sure.
And that format is volumetric. So volumetric is is the format of the future, and we have a novel approach to that new format. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Okay. I've done not this
quite,
kind of
yeah.
stuff, but
not
I've done
that.
I've done some AR HoloLens and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
And I know how complicated it can be even to process small amounts.
Right. So
even on advanced hardware,
exactly.
to process small amounts can be a real pain.
Can be a real pain.
Because it's dealing with positioning and all kinds of other stuff too.
Right.
And then trying to throw graphics processing on top of all of that overloads even some of the most advanced hardware.
So yeah, I'll give you a little example, and you're absolutely right. The you have to know how to optimize for real time.
Right.
You have to know what you're doing. Really know what you're doing. To really squeeze and eke out every little bit of CPU cycle that
mm-hmm.
you can. Our system actually frees up the artists to not even consider that. They don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
They use their traditional content creation software, whether it's 3D Studio Max, whether it's Maya, and they do the highest fidelity that they know how to do. And our software comes in and captures that. So they can theoretically create assets and models that are in the billions of polygons. And it doesn't matter one bit because once we've converted the content, it's not even geometry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, you can think of it as a hologram, even though that's technically not the case. But yeah, it's helpful to think of it that way. So we throw out all that, that data becomes redundant, at least for our purposes. Vertices, textures, all that kind of stuff. We just have a format that contains that representation of the original asset and, you know, almost free of charge consumption on
wow.
the, almost, you know, there's always
yeah.
bandwidth issues.
Of course.
But it is a bandwidth problem and not a polygon crunching
right.
problem.
Right.
So we for high quality 3D content that can be interacted with and viewed on demand, we're expecting bandwidth or throughput that is, again, similar to what you get from high quality video on YouTube. So it's accessible on 4G networks.
Okay.
Obviously, once 5G rolls out, then the sky's the limit.
Sure, because all of a sudden, the bandwidth problem gets lessened
yeah.
with 5G.
But then again, who knows how long, you know, how even the 5G rollout will be.
It won't be.
Yeah, exactly. So
they never are.
So the trick is to get things to work on current
sure.
infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
We're not waiting for that.
I don't blame you.
So,
because yeah, Chicago might have it in what, a month and a half, but
exactly,
nobody else is going to.
Well, so we're based in Tel Aviv, and God knows when that's going to roll out. Well, you know, I mean, the States is a different story altogether, but the Middle East is another story altogether.
Well, I mean, even a state like Kansas is going to be treated
yeah.
similarly. They'll be the last ones to get
yeah.
to get 5G. So
yeah.
it's, focusing on current gen hardware makes sense.
Right.
And the fact that you can do it on lower end hardware because so much is offloaded
right.
is pretty cool.
So, you know, we people don't realize, I mean, as marvelous as our devices are, our phones, and as high-tech as they are still pretty limited in their processing power. Battery life is also an issue.
Yeah, it is.
But forget mobile devices. I mean, if you think about wearables, smart glasses, you know, lightweight, AR-enabled or AR-capable devices, these things have even less processing power. I mean, your mobile phones is way beyond that in terms of processing power.
And
so
somehow they're way bigger and way heavier.
Right. Well, okay. yeah. So, but I mean, assuming, you know, guys like Snap Inc.
Yeah.
you know, they come out with their, they managed to, or Google managed to really figure out how to get, you know, wearables that are fashionable and lightweight, that look great, and that are AR capable. I mean, the processing power is going to be close to zilch on those things. So yeah, so it makes sense to have nothing happen on those devices in terms of real processing.
Yeah. The more you can get away from that,
the
better it'll be.
But the big trick and the real trick here, and what all this rests on, is keeping costs down on the cloud, right?
Of course.
So that's where you got to make sure you've got a good solution for efficient compression, for not having to rely on cloud processing, on CPU cycles in the cloud, which is what we're focused on. And the cheapest type of online, you know, solution is the static solution, where you're just storing stuff and not processing it. And that's where the innovation lies. So I think that's really important going forward, because cost obviously is an issue. And only real enthusiasts in terms of gamers and stuff like that are willing to pay
that cost,
for CPU cycles in the cloud. But I mean, if you want content to reach hundreds and millions of users, of casual users, then it needs to be cheap.
Yeah.
It needs to be very cheap.
Absolutely. So you're in alpha.
We're in alpha.
So where in this process are you currently?
Okay, so we have a working prototype.
Okay.
We can demo the content. What obviously strikes people right now when we're demoing it is the fidelity. I mean, it is top notch. No one has seen anything like that in AR.
Okay.
We're not demoing in VR at this stage. And what we're doing right now are collaborations with tech companies and with content creators. The tech companies obviously are important to establish use cases, and to also, you know, they're obviously mobile phone manufacturers are looking for the next best thing in terms of AR. You know, as they're looking to upgrade and sell more devices, the next big thing for them obviously is AR, and AR has to be accessible and AR has to look good. So for them, it makes sense to work with us. So we embark on POCs with these types of companies. And then we also partner with content creators, because these are the guys who are actually going to be creating the high-end content at the end of the day. And we make sure that our tools are easy to work with, and you know, their input is invaluable.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, so working prototype, putting your relationships together. When do you expect a wider availability?
So anywhere between 8 to 12 months.
Okay,
that's the time frame.
Okay,
that's the time frame. But that also depends on the types of partnerships we have, assuming everything goes according to plan. And that's always something, you know, that's always in flux, especially at this early stage where you're pre-revenue. But if all works out, 8 to 12 months.
Okay. So by the time we're sitting here next year,
sure,
you're hoping for.
We'll be streaming,
and he'll be a beta.
And we'll be a beta, and it'll be more than just kitties, right? We're you know, but the idea is, just to add, the company is not just a tech company; we're a content company as well. We do visual effects. We have our R&D division that is developing the next gen graphics tech. So the one informs the other, and we are responsible for creating our own content to show off what the technology can do.
Okay.
So by the time we come around next time, we'll have, you know, we're hoping to demonstrate some pretty serious stuff, you know, the likes of which none have seen before, you know. So yeah.
Well, good. I look forward to seeing that.
I look forward to showing that off. Yes, yes.
So, as an alpha, what are your goals here at Collision this week?
Well, obviously, we want the exposure. We want to, as I mentioned before, for us as an alpha, it's really important to make the right kinds of partnerships and collaborations happen. So, you know, we know who we want to attract, and those people are here. So,
sure.
So obviously we exhibited, and we could demonstrate the prototype that we have. And beyond that, you know, you need to get out of the bubble every once in a while, walk around, see what other people are doing. And, you know, as stressed out as you are and as anxious as you are and, you know, as focused as you are, sometimes you really need to kind of step out of that, see what everyone else is doing, take a deep breath, you know, even kind of be humbled here and there, you know, by what other people are putting together.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because inspiration comes from there.
Yeah. They open your eyes to
Yeah,
exactly.
You're
so,
like, wow, I hadn't thought about trying it that way.
Absolutely. and you never know where it's going to come from.
Sure.
You know, you have absolutely no idea. So so that's the trick.
You don't know if it's going to be a dating app that you're going to look at and go, wow, I hadn't considered whatever.
Go.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal for us. And, you know, I mean, we're a small team, so it's hard to be everywhere. And
sure.
It's also expensive to be everywhere.
Sure.
But some things are really important to do, and this is one of them. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, if people want to find out more about your platform and follow your journey, how can they do that?
You can look up Bottega AR online, or just go to bottegavfx.com, and all the information is there, all our work, all our demo videos. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to
us
today.
Thank you, guys. It was great.
Really excited about this. I have an affinity for AR stuff. So I haven't done anything professionally yet, but I have it's all of my like hobby projects have AR associated somewhere.
We're looking to wow people. I mean, that's
cool.
I mean, it's a visual medium, right?
Yeah.
So and people respond to that. So if we can, that the proof is in the pudding, we can show what we can do. That's it, right?
Cool.
Well, it sounds exciting.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of Collision.
Ciao.